What's going on, guys? It's Dave Heilman, and it is Mock Draft Monday. You can follow me at Dynasty Dorks on Twitter, on TikTok. Follow my work at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and don't forget the promo code Dynasty Dorks when you download Underdog Fantasy. So let's go through our mock draft. We did a one quarterback mock draft. Some people still play those. Yeah, I know it's weird. But one quarterback, rookie draft, and let's see what we got. I think a rookie draft, rookie rankings help you with your trades, help you with knowing, you know, what your team needs are and how to prepare for your drafts. Things will obviously change after the NFL draft, but you should get a good idea of who the players are to watch, and where the depth is at each position so you can make your moves now and prepare for the draft. So Marvin Harrison Jr. goes off the clock at the 101. No surprises there. I know Chris Sims came out with his mock draft. Chris Sims has Marvin Harrison Jr. as his number three wide receiver. Daniel Jeremiah said there's some teams that do have Malik Nabers as the number one. But come on, Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101, no surprise. Don't overthink it. Put it in. I mean, there is the opportunity of him going to our Arizona's the likely landing spot if he were to end up in New England with Jacoby Brissett and who knows what at quarterback. Maybe there's some confusion, but I still think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the easy 101. Malik Nabers is closer to the 102, and the 103 actually, I think, fell a little bit in this one. Bruni took Brock Bowers. This is no tight end premium, but Brock Bowers is a premium at a premium position. And this is a player that, you know, you hear it all the time, generational talent. I'm not going to use that term, but I am going to say that he is the clear number one tight end in this class. And he is probably a better prospect, quote unquote, than most of the players that are coming out, even better prospect than what we thought Laporta could be. And we saw that worked out with Laporta. We obviously underplayed his talent, but you've seen some tight ends, you know, have great rookie seasons. And we expect Brock Bowers to be a top 15 pick. The Jets at 10. We got the Saints at 14. We got 15 is the Colts. I think he goes top 15. Caleb Williams at 104 was quite a surprise. I don't think, we expected that in a one quarterback league. But there he is. Caleb Williams, 104. Then we have Roma Dunze at 105. Ladd McConkey at the 106 spot. And then we have Brian Thomas Jr. at the 107. McConkey was a little bit high, but, you know, to each their own. I would have definitely gone Brian Thomas, and that's what I did. The next pick was Keon Coleman at the 108 spot. Most time you see Troy Franklin there, and for whatever reason, he dropped tremendously in this one. So you have Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, and that's where usually you see Brian Thomas Jr., and there's a little bit of a gap. So if you're trying to trade up, that's what I'm looking to do, is to get into the top six, top five. Usually your pool shrinks a little bit when you look at it from a landing spot. You know, nobody thought that Zach Charbonnet would go in the second round, and then he would go behind Ken Walker. That shocked a lot of people. That could happen. These guys get bad landing spots with a bad quarterback, bad offense, or get buried behind somebody on the depth chart, and your, you know, 20, 30 guys that you love turns into 15. So it's just something to keep an eye on. I don't hate the Ladd McConkey pick at 106, but I just would have taken other guys. He's got some injury concerns. He looked great during the combine, but the injury concerns are a concern. So, again, Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 1, Malik Nabers at 2, Brock Bowers at 3, Caleb Williams at 4, Roma Dunze at 5, Ladd McConkey at 6, then Brian Thomas Jr. at the 7 spot. I think nobody would be surprised if Brian Thomas Jr. gets a fantastic landing spot in that, you know, 15 to 25 range, 15 to 30 range, talking Jacksonville, Buffalo, Kansas City. I mean, there's a lot of great options here for some of these guys going the back half of the first round. Keon Coleman at 108. I mean, that one right there is, you know, he ran a slow 40, but as far as weight adjusted, he's a bigger guy, and it wasn't as slow as maybe it would look when you're comparing him against guys that are almost 50 pounds lighter. But, you know, you're worried a little bit with the agility a little bit with the you know, the getting in and out of breaks and some of the you know, some of his ability to create separation. And so he's someone that some people are really high on and some people are really souring on. Drake May went to 109, then Xavier Worthy. Worthy, again, polarizing prospect. First thing people point out when he broke the record was John Ross and all these other little guys. And then you look at guys like Devonta Smith and Tank Dell and Josh Downs and other guys that played really, really well at a lightweight. And think the NFL is changing a little bit. I mean, I see him as more like a Marquise Brown than a John Ross. I think he's, you know, he's a better receiver than, you know, John Ross was. And you can see where the comparisons are, you know, easy to make because of the height, weight, and then obviously the speed. Adonai Mitchell, AD Mitchell, I think he's better than Worthy. He had a so-so combine, had some things that were really good, then had some things that were kind of iffy. But he's, I think, a more well-rounded receiver than Worthy. But you can't deny Worthy's quickness. Then you have Xavier Leggett at 112, little older prospect. They call him, you know, DK Metcalf. You know, the is the player comp. But with Leggett, you're looking at someone that's 23 years old with really 1 year of production. So that's tough. And he just doesn't have as refined of a route tree as someone like a Mitchell or Brian Thomas or even a Troy Franklin, who goes much later in this draft, and I was a little shocked by that. Jadavion Sanders went 201. He's the clear-cut number two tight end right now. And again, it's premium position because there's not a lot of talent there. So it's a little early in my opinion, but if he gets drafted second round and gets good draft, you know, good spot, you could see people jumping up for him. Jonathan Brooks, the first running back off the board. Comment on this video. Who is your RB1? For me, it's Trey Benson. Jonathan Brooks is not far behind. You're telling me I can trade back and get, you know, Trey Benson or Blake Corum plus a second round pick for Jonathan Brooks. They're all just too close right now. Landing spot and draft capital will definitely change the receiver, the running back market. Tez Walker goes 203. I like the player. I think he's going to be an early day two pick. He's a big play guy, but I just don't know what it's going to, you know, what it's going to look like compared to a Troy Franklin, who probably gets a first round draft capital based on what, you know, scouts and Daniel Jeremiah and all those guys are saying. Trey Benson, 204. I think that's a slam dunk. Overdrafted Caleb Williams, and then got a nice value here with Trey Benson. Troy Franklin, the 209, might be 205, might be the steal of the draft. Troy Franklin, he had that really, really bad gauntlet drill. But other than that, he was fine. I think people had high expectations, and he kind of blended in with the group, and you expected him to stand out, and that was disappointing. But I don't think, you know, we should drop him to 205, in my opinion. I still have him in my top six receivers. Ricky Pearsall, he went at the 206. I like a couple guys more than him, but he's definitely someone that's rising up my board. Just route running savant. He's one of those guys that he knows how to set up the defenders, and you can tell that he's going to create separation at the next level. He's a professional route runner, and that usually translates to early production. He can be a big slot in the tight, you know, in the NFL, or you can see him play outside. He played the majority of his snaps outside. They also used him in different ways with, you know, end arounds, bubble screens, things like that, get him in space. He's not, you know, just a slot guy. He's definitely a versatile player. Then Roman Wilson, he's a little smaller for an outside receiver. Probably projects more of a slot guy. But, you know, it's hard to tell in this Michigan offense with any of these guys because of just how little they were used. But Roman Wilson is a guy that's raising up my board, rising up a lot of people's boards. They got him at number – Chris Sims has him as his fifth best receiver. Other guys have him in their top five, top seven. You know, he just was, you know, that offense didn't throw the ball much. They're up 25 because of Blake Corum, who's next, and up 25 in the third quarter, didn't have to pass the ball much. And so there's not a lot of passing production, not a lot of passing tape, receiving tape on this team. Blake Corum at the 208, Quorum, if he goes to the Chargers or the Ravens, could be the number one running back off the board easily. He can catch the ball. He's not going to light it up and be Austin Eckler, but he's going to be a fine pass catcher. You know, you've seen these guys like, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb. They're not necessarily going to catch 60 or 80 balls, but they're great running backs, and Blake Quorum is that. Jaden Daniels, 209. I'm fine taking a quarterback here, especially I think is the most fantasy relevant quarterback right away. It's about like college fantasy points. This guy put up numbers along the likes of Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and the top fantasy, you know, seasons ever for college fantasy. This guy is a stud. I think he's a great passer of the ball, but he's obviously got the rushing upside. The fear is going to New England where there's really nothing there, or does he go to Washington and he has a good set of weapons? We don't know where he's going to go, but I prefer Washington, but we'll see. Could be some things shaken up. There's already been some moves being discussed with Minnesota Vikings trying to move up. Jalen McMillan at the 210 spot. McMillan, he kind of got forgotten because of all the success from Adunze and Jalen Polk, but he's a good receiver, and you can see here 210, you can see him easily getting day three draft capital. If he gets a good landing spot, could raise up your boards, be a second or third round pick. Jalen Wright, some people have him as his RB1. This guy's got juice, he's got size, and his only downfall is he really didn't get a ton of work, which means he still got a lot of tread left on the tires, but you always wonder, why did a guy not get a lot of work? You see it in the, you know, Damian Pierce, and you're like, man, this guy's great. Oh, yeah, that's why he didn't get a lot of work. And then you see Alvin Kamara, former volunteer. He ended up being fantastic. And so I think it's all about placement. Where does this guy go? How is he used? And no one really is expecting, you know, most of these backfields are duos or trios. And Jalen Wright will fit in fine. And I think he'll be great for fantasy. Even if he's only getting 10 to 15 touches a game, he just has some serious, serious speed that you just can't find, especially for a 215-pound back. Bucky Irving, 212, smaller back. Yes, he's pass-catching back, but he's also a speed back, and teams are looking for that. We saw guys like Tyjae Spears, James Cook. You don't have to be 225 pounds to be a running back in the NFL these days, and I think Irving's going to carve out a role. J.J. McCarthy, 301. It doesn't look sexy, but if he goes to Minnesota with the weapons that they have there, it's a pretty sexy pick at 301. And I like some of the players in this round, but I'm fine with taking that. He's 20-year-old quarterback. Malachi Corley, Daniel Jeremiah said that NFL GMs that really love Corley probably were happy he didn't work out and put on a show and put more spotlight on him. He is a great receiver. And he does most of his work after the catch. A lot of people compare him to a Deebo Samuel type of player, where he is just so hard to take down, so elusive with the ball in his hand, and just a force missed tackle machine. Michael Penix at the 303. Michael Penix, he's got the probably prettiest ball. He throws a great ball, and the biggest knock on him is really he's not necessarily a runner. And the fact that he is, he's got, you know, season-ending injuries, both shoulder and knee injuries, in four separate seasons. Also older prospect, 24 years old. Braylon Allen at 305 is an absolute steal. I was really hoping he'd make it to me at 307, but let's be realistic. Braylon Allen is going probably at the end of your second round in your rookie drafts. So when I look at this and I say, okay, I want a running back, and I don't know who I like, if I'm sitting at the 1-9, 1-10, I'm trading back. Give me the 202 and the 208, and I'm getting Jonathan Brooks and Blake Corum. If I'm sitting at the 110, I'm totally fine with making a move like that, whether it's the 2010 and 2-9 or the 2010, 2-5. I'd rather take two bites at the apple at this point, take the shotgun approach. If you're wanting a receiver and you want one of the top guys, I'm trading into the top seven. I want to trade, do exactly what I said, but maybe throw in a future second. Give me a 201, 210, and throw in a 2025 second so I can go up and get Brian Thomas Jr., Roma Dunze, one of those guys. If I can't get them, I'm trying to fall back and take a shotgun approach. I think a lot of these guys are very similar, and I'd rather take two or three of them than take my shot on one outside the top six. Next we have Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. He's a fast receiver, big receiver, big play guy. Marshawn Lloyd, I took at 307. I think, you know, Lloyd and Allen, I think they're obvious second round picks, and they just slipped a little bit in this one because quarterbacks went a little higher than expected. Marshawn Lloyd, very well-rounded running back, SEC and Pac-12. He did it both, and he did it well. He can catch the ball. He's got good size. He's got good traits, and he's a good running back. I think that, you know, you're going to be NFL teams going to like him a lot. He could end up being the number one running back off the board. He can pass protect, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's really an all-around back. Bo Nix at 308, Jalen Polk at 309. Ben Sinnott, I love Ben Sinnott. I think he's going to be, if I'm looking for a ticket, you know, shot at a sleeper tight end, he's probably my guy. This guy is, you know, kind of a Swiss Army knife. They use him out of the backfield as a fullback. They line him up in the slot. They put him on the end of the line. He likes to run block. He's a former hockey player, very physical guy. He's got good size, and he's got good athleticism. Will Shipley, 311. Audric Estime at 312. Both good running backs. If they get the right spot, the right capital, they can move up the boards. Jacob Going at the 401. Then we have Johnny Wilson at 402. Wilson, I think, should transition to tight end, but he's refusing to do so now. A team may make that decision for him. I want to see what he's announced as on draft night. Probably a, you know, both fourth round picks coming. He's a good player. I think that, you know, it just comes down to draft capital landing spot. Ray Davis, I like him a lot. Just an older player is my concern. He does everything. He's got a whole bunch of receiving production, even though he's more of a bigger back, but they just use the crap out of him at Kentucky, and he got all the work. And so he shows that he can do that. He's got the size and the capability as a runner to do that. Jamari Thrash out of Louisville. Shout out to Popes, one of his guys. Dylan Lobby. I did a post and posted the top receiving metrics from the running back position, and I forgot to include the FBS. As soon as I did, Lobby was the number one guy in every single category. I got to speak with him at the combine before, and he announced to my question about running receiving drills. He ended up running extra drills as well as doing return drills, and he's a versatile player that teams will love his skill set, being able to return kicks, punts, and to be able to be a receiving back, receiving specialist, and top being a good running back. Jaheim Bell, kind of a do-it-all guy. He's a little shorter for a tight end, more 6'2", 6'3", shorter arms. So he's not your prototypical tight end, not necessarily a big blocker, but they use him a lot. And they use him, he's run the ball, he's returned kicks. He's an extremely athletic guy. And if you're looking for someone that's like a Jonnu Smith type, this is it. I took Spencer Rattler here. I'll be honest, I was giving my kid a bath. I would have taken Malik Washington, and Malik Washington did not get drafted, and that should not have happened. I shouldn't have let that happen. Malik Washington is my pick here instead of Spencer Rattler. I'm talking about a yak specialist. This guy, he's built like a running back. When you see him, he looks like a running back. He's got broad shoulders. He's got big arms, and he's not, you know, a tall, skinny basketball player. But that doesn't mean he can't catch the ball. This guy had a ton of catches at Virginia, and he did a ton of damage. He actually had the most forced missed tackles, the most yards after the catch in college football last year. Cade Stover, a lot of people's third tight end. He went a little later here. He's a converted linebacker. He's a huge guy, and he does not mind blocking. I think he really enjoys that part of the game, and I think that that's going to get him on the field early. Moose Muhammad, Luke McCaffrey, getting some, you know, a son of Mohsin Muhammad and the brother of Christian McCaffrey. They have A.J. Burner and then Frank Gore. There's definitely a few other guys that didn't get drafted, but this is your top 48. Let me know what you think. who was too high, who was too low, who should have been drafted, and let me know if this is helpful. And now I'm going to go through a Washington Commanders 7-round mock draft. Let me know what you think about this. So the Commanders have a lot of needs. And so when you talk about the Commanders, you're looking directly at the quarterback position is your first. That's your first need. But what are they going to do after that? So I did a trade with their second pick. I did number 2 overall to Jaden Daniels. You have Drake May in consideration. You could trade back. It's consideration. But with their second round pick, I moved both their second round picks for pick 16 and pick 81. It gave me the ability to go get a tackle. There's about 7 or 8 starting tackles in this draft, maybe more. But I wanted to make sure I got one of the top guys. Moved up with Seattle. They don't have a second round pick. Gives them 2 second round picks. I get a first and a third. I got Amarius Mims, 6'7", out of Georgia, athletic, physical, tight end. That can be my bookend for Jaden Daniels. Got the tackle, got the quarterback. Sam Howell was sacked 60 times in the first 12 weeks last year. You cannot have that. You cannot, even if Jaden Daniels is a great athlete, you just can't have that. They need to refill the edge. Got Marshawn Nealon. I know that I would have liked to go a little bit early, but I felt like tackle was a more important position because they've made some free agent moves to address the edge position after letting Chase Young and Montez Sweat leave. Max Melton, a physical corner out of Rutgers. I think he's going to raise up the boards. I don't know if he's going to be there in round 3, but I got him in the deal using that, using our third pick. And then I went and got Blake Fisher, right tackle. So it gives me 2 tackles, an edge, and a corner to go with quarterback, really attacking premium positions. This team has a lot of needs, and a lot of the needs are premium positions. They were very bad at coverage. They were very bad at blocking last year, and then they traded both their top edge guys. Went with the receiver, Javon Baker, kind of a different flavor to their current roster. They got rid of Curtis Samuel, and they have Jahan Dotson, and they have Terry McLaurin. McLaurin is an outside guy. He's a route runner, but he's a smaller receiver. Jahan Dotson's a smaller receiver, another route runner. They need someone that can go up and get it, someone that can be a red zone threat, someone that can be their deep play guy. That's Javon Baker. Was recruited by Alabama, went to UCF, dominated Senior Bowl. This guy is a stud. If you can get him in the 3rd round, be very happy. I went with another edge, Grayson Murphy. A lot of teams do this. They'll get 2 guys from the same position. Not only are you just taking 2 bites at the apple, but these are teams where you have rotations and you have guys that play both sides. So whether it's tackle, whether it's edge, whether it's guard, receiver, you don't have to just draft one and move on. Then it was Zach Zinter, Michigan guard. You talk about a guy that's physical, a guy that comes from a pro style offense that knows how to run block as well as can pass protect. Zach Center is your guy. And then Eric All. I mean, he was the best player available for a long time. For whatever reason, he kept falling. We got Zach Ertz. Give me Eric All as his successor. You got Eric All from Iowa. Anytime you get an Iowa tight end, you're going to be interested. They know how to block. They know how to play tight end. And usually good things happen in the NFL. All right. Well, if you like this episode, come back next week. We're going to do a different mock draft with the New England Patriots. We're also going to look at a startup mock draft and talk about the first few rounds, maybe the first 15 rounds of a startup mock draft. And we're going to put rookies in there. So I'm going to put in the kickers to go as the rookie picks to kind of give us an idea of where do the players go versus the picks? Like what players are around the 101. You know, is Puka Nacua worth the 101? Are you talking about Superflex? Is Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence still worth the 101 or higher? So let's look at that next week. But as always, good luck this season.